Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Game 6 down in Houston. Nate Evaldi, Luis Garcia, the Sox, they got to win two. Friday, Saturday, so tonight at what, 8 o'clock, and hopefully tomorrow night we will see, but what the hell do you expect tonight? Sox fans, how do you feel about these last two? Will this be it? 617-779-7937. How do you guys feel about Nate on the mound?
Great guy, right? I feel good about Nate. We were just discussing, like, you know, how do you overcome the terrible ninth inning collapse, call it, oof, where they just, the Astros just, exploded for a bunch of runs. And you know what, Lou? I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it affects them whatsoever. Like, it was, treated like a bullpen day. You tried to make something happen and didn't work out, but you're not letting that, you're not bringing that type of, feeling into game six, are you? I don't think so at all, Fitzy.
Well, isn't it, though, that Martin Perez is the one who served up the real cheese?
Yes.
And while Evaldi was probably, and still is, and may forever be pissed about the way that Laz Diaz call went, it's just it's still unconscionable to me, but whatever, here we are, it's game six. My concern, Lou, would be that Evaldi is so mad about taking the loss, that he is so mad about that call and the way that game and the subsequent game went, that maybe he's trying, like, would you be surprised if he opens up like a little wild tonight because he's really throwing? Like, is he overthrowing?
No.
Can he be calm and killer about this?
I think people will kind of look at, I think if it doesn't go well for Nate, they'll go back to that game four, whatever, and say it was a mistake bringing him in, which I don't think it was. It was his bullpen day. And I think as far as Nate, getting hit, like, Correa smoked that first ball to right field. I mean, he smoked that thing. Mm-hmm. Should have been caught, right?
Renfro should have caught the ball.
So, and then he punched out the next guy. They intentionally walked Gurriel, and then he punched out the next guy, and he should have punched out Castro. You know what I mean? So it was like, yeah, there was one hard hit ball. There's no question about it that Renfro should have caught. Then there was strikeouts. And an intentional walk. And you're right. I mean, Martin Perez is the one that cleared the bases, made an absolute joke. Should have been 3-2, but you don't have a lefty that can get anybody out of that bullpen. So I think the bigger question will be, because we haven't really seen it before, what is he like when he throws 25 pitches on his bullpen day? Because this is bullpen day, but your bullpen, you throw 30, 40 pitches, whatever it is, and it's light. You're out there in the bullpen, everyone's watching, you get your jacket on, woo-hoo, nice and easy. It's not 98, let it eat in a game. In the ninth inning, there's a lot more intensity. It's a lot more taxing on you. So I don't expect Nate to go six. Once again, that number's five. Give me five. And after that, I have no idea who comes into the game. I have no idea how he's going to use this bullpen because it is an elimination game. And more importantly, I'm done talking about Tanner Houck because apparently he's done using him.
Hmm.
So I don't get it. Let me go to Eric real quick. Eric in New Hampshire, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me on. My initial call was about the Red Sox, but I got to make a comment about Christian talking about the Patriots. I think he's sniffing unicorns and rainbows, thinking they're going to go 4-1, and forgetting they have Buffalo twice, Tennessee,
Indianapolis. The next, five games. Listen, we're not talking about game 14, week 6. No, no. It's a five-game season, Eric. That is my point. Like, this is where you're going to sit there, and at the end of five games, you'll reevaluate your situation. Let's not talk about Buffalo yet. Remember, Eric, one game at a time.
I got you. Don't get checked. Don't cut me off.
One game at a time.
Point. I know Christian's all butthurt about this, but can I get to my Sox point?
What is butthurt about what?
Pats.
That somebody's questioning you about the Pats.
Yeah.
No, well, you gave the wrong example. You gave the wrong example. That's why I was challenging you, because you gave the wrong reasoning. So your facts are wrong, Eric. That's why. And I'm not butthurt.
That they're 2-4. I mean, okay, can I get to my Sox?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go to your Sox point.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, the only four guys, the only four guys I want to see tonight, I want them to gas Eovaldi out. Give me five and a third. I want to see a combo of Ottavino or Taylor, depending upon what pocket, as Lou said, are coming up righty-lefties. And then I want Whitlock for 2 1/3. I don't want to see Brazier. I don't want to see Salamora, Perez, et cetera, the rest of these bums out there. So, yes.
I would say, thanks for the call.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Okay. Apology accepted.
I would agree
with
that.
Would still have to have feelings, Eric. But that's true, too.
Hopefully, Darwinson and Perez's seasons are over. I don't want to see either one of them. I don't know. Hauk, I'd love to see Hauk. Apparently, he can't throw. He can't pitch against these guys. I have no idea. You know Ottavino and Taylor will be used to get out some guys and get out of an inning. You know Whitlock is going to give you two. Is that going to be enough? I have no idea. It should be with a guy like Tanner Hauk available. I don't know what they're waiting for.
I think, you know, there's so much focus on the pitching that the real issue is, are they going to start hitting?
You are right.
Like, are they going to drive in runs? Like, can they get on base? Like, and then when they do get on base, can they drive in those runs? To me, that is the biggest concern. I think the pitching duel, I think each team is probably going to end up giving up. I see this game playing more like game one. I think game two was an anomaly. I think game three was an anomaly. I think, you know, and then game four and five, just the explosion, like the fast-paced offense that Cora is describing it as. Okay, can we all kind of, you know, settle down a little bit and then assume that it's probably going to be like game one? That's what I think. Each team remove the craziness, all the two-out RBIs, all the grand slams, and then you, game one, you probably got a truer indication of what each team is like. That's, to me, where it should end up.
Okay, and here's my cause for concern then. Lou, could the incredible success that the Red Sox had in game two and three ultimately be their undoing in this series? Because you get two salamis in Houston in game two. You absolutely mash. It finishes four runs, but it's never in doubt. And in game three, they just slap them around the yard. They just mash and knock them out, basically, to a point where you got Christian doing karaoke Tuesday and the city was nothing but good vibes only. Well, guess what? Since then, they have faltered. They have stumbled. They have been too aggressive at the plate. They've been swinging out of their socks. Everyone is chasing garbage to the left and the right, up and down in the zone. Nobody is maintaining their discipline in letting Houston come to them. The Sox are trying to recapture that big bat magic that they had in games two and three. How does Cora recapture his magic and get through to these guys and tell them to remain calm and try to get back to plate discipline as opposed to everyone hitting a grand slam with nobody on the bases?
Yeah, that's how they beat Garcia in the first place. He walked three guys in an inning because they laid off first pitch breaking ball out of the zone. Like the Astros have done a nice job adjusting. They basically have been pitching, you know, Kike inside more, almost not letting him handle outer half and pull it, yank it. He's on the plate. So they're pitching him inside more. Everyone else is away because everyone else wants to yank. So the approach is, I mean, if you're Timmy Hires and you're the hitting coach, it's like, guys, we got to get back to what we do. We got to get back to hitting the ball to right center, hitting the ball the other way. You know, Renfro, you know, the reason why you didn't hit 200 this year and hit 265 is because, like we talked about, you used right field. Now you don't want to use right field anymore. All of you, none of you do. We got to get back to that, you know, and everybody. So to me, it's about an offensive approach. Christian, I'm with you. Like, you know, it's pitching, I get it. But if you don't score runs, I mean, you're screwed. It was 1-0 game in the sixth. And they put up five to make it 6-0. It was 2-2 game in the ninth, and they put up seven. So it wasn't like, I know the numbers, they destroyed you so-called in games 4 and 5, but not like you did in 2 and 3. Like you did in 2 and 3, you just put them out of the game early. Both those 4 and 5 were tight late, tight, and you gave it up. So that can't happen. You got Nate Eovaldi talking to the media yesterday about, does he have any limitations here in this start tonight?
Having the 2 days in between definitely helps. You know, I took yesterday off. I didn't really throw. Made sure I was nice and recovered. Just got done playing catch today. I feel great. So, you know, I don't think there's any limitation. Tomorrow feels good. And, you know, mentally I'm going to be ready and prepared for this game.
So he'll be ready.
Totally believe him.
The only guys I don't think will be in spikes will be Erod because he's throwing tomorrow and Chris Sale. So, because he just threw. And I just don't see them rushing him trying to get an inning. Maybe in game 7, if there is one, Sale can throw for you. But Erod and Sale. Pavetta, he's got spikes on. Like he threw, 2 days ago. He's come out of the bullpen and give you an inning. So you can put him on that list. You know, there should be no Perez. There should be no Sarmiento. There should be no Darwinson. I would just tell them not even to put their spikes on. You hang out here unless it's tied and we're in the 11th inning. Then we might actually have to need you at some point if we go 14 or 15. But I don't want them touching the baseball. I don't want them at all. We got Alex Cora. He was talking about bouncing back. We have that audio. Alex won.
That's the goal. We are where we are, but you can say all the cliches, right? One pitch at a time, one play at a time, one inning at a time, one game at a time, one day at a time. It doesn't matter. You name it, we have them. So just a matter of going out there and play a good baseball game and then play another good baseball game in 2 days.
Play a couple baseball games, a couple good ones, clean ones. How about Xander Bogaerts? Let's rip through him too while we're at it. Let me hear Xander real quick about this weekend.
How much faith do you have in Nate Friday?
A lot, man. I mean, he's been great this whole postseason. Throughout the most part of his career, he's done a great job, man. I mean, bringing back a lot of memories in 2018, you know, those special things that he did back in those last couple years ago. But this year, man, he's been pitching the ball real well the whole year. He's been extremely consistent from day one until this point. I mean, obviously having Chris Hill before and then him right after, I mean, you had to like your chances with that.
So I said before, Tom Karen tweeted out, only five teams of the 20 teams have trailed 3-2. 20 teams have trailed 3-2. Only five of them have won. And the Red Sox have done it three times out of the five. So it's there. Can they do it? I don't know. You guys tell me. How do you feel about coming into the weekend? 617-779-7937. We've talked a lot about the Alex Cora effect. Is it starting to wear off? As a national baseball writer who believes it is. We'll tell you who that is and what he had to say next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
There's nobody like Alex Cora. He really has the Alex Cora effect on this magical Red Sox team.
Oh, hey, Rod. He explained it so well. Talking about Alex Cora and the Alex Cora effect. Ken Rosenthal's headline: after questionable decisions in Game 4 and 5, Alex Cora's postseason mystique has taken a hit. He says, for the better part of 2018 and 21 postseasons, Cora could do no wrong. He was aggressive. He was creative. He always seemed to gain the upper hand. But the game humbles even the best minds. In the past two nights, as if to remind us that the baseball gods will tolerate us for only so much. The Cora mystique has taken a hit. All right, Red Sox fans, how you feel about Alex Cora? Has the mystique taken a hit? I ask you guys.
It sure does feel like it, though, doesn't it? And it's crazy because the real answer should be no. Mm-hmm. The real answer should be no, because the one mistake that so far that I think you can directly point to him, okay, not making the right call, but the guy completely, you know, peeing down his leg, which I think is different, is what happened when he let Chris Sale pitch that sixth inning.
I would agree.
Like that, to me, the only real decision I can look at, oh, what about Eovaldi? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. I mean, listen, it's a ninth inning. I like the fact that he's being aggressive. He's like, let's end this thing. We're gonna have our at bats as soon as we get out of this inning, and then we'll be fine. But I mean, it is funny how things turn so quickly in one day. Because what was the stat that Cora has never lost like back to back games?
Yeah, in the postseason.
Like it was like undefeated.
6-0 after 5-0 after losing games.
So there
he's
it
never
is.
Lost more than right. one game in a series.
So before lost he lost, here. So before well, we were talking, years. We were comparing him to Belichick. Like he has gotten the Belichick pass. Like don't worry about it. And Bill, we trust.
And
it seemed like it was the same thing with Alex.
What did I say? The minute they lose a game or two,
he'll lose it. And he lost it. So he lost his quickly.
I don't think the Cora mystique has worn off in any way, shape, or form. I do think Lou has made the wrong decision twice. And
what are the two?
It's simple. And it's with the same guy twice. I have no idea why Perez came in, and I have no idea why Sale stayed in that long. If you go that long and only give up, what was the score top of the sixth? Sale had given up, what,
one, two
runs? Yeah, it was 1-0. You have to be, they should be opening the core bell that they had preemptively shipped to Fenway, celebrating the fact that Sale gave you five against this monster mash unit of an offense. Five innings, one run from Chris Sale? Holy smokes, that's incredible. They never should have had him back in there. Lou, what in the holy hell does Alex Cora suddenly have against Tanner Houck? One inning, yeah, two runs allowed. Okay, great. You see the 18 ERA and you say, what's happened to this guy? He only pitched one inning and he hung a piece of cheese that Altuve deposited.
Yeah.
You don't think the kid can learn from that? He's got the best natural stuff probably in the entire bullpen or starting rotation, and yet we're not seeing him. We're seeing Perez and Flotsam and Jetsam.
That one I can't figure out.
No.
I would say the calls that, you know, Alex has made some calls that's gone against him. And there's definitely some ones that you worry about or you question. You know, the Martin Perez coming in after Eovaldi. Eovaldi coming in the game was not a mistake. We cannot, and that's one of the things that Rosenthal brought up, was bringing Eovaldi in. It didn't work. And even in the article, he points out, like, in 2018, he did it and it worked. Okay, so, but now it's a stupid move? Like, it worked so well in 18. That's how they won. They had no bullpen in 18. Going into the playoffs, like, they still don't have a guy. Kimbrel sucked. Barnes didn't have a good end of the year like he normally does. And they started bringing in all these starters to pitch big innings, high-leverage innings, get saves, and it worked. So I don't know how now you can sit there, just because it didn't work, say that was a mistake. And he just sort of has a plan, right? And it's like, this is how we're going to win it. And if it goes awry in the ninth, then we're screwed. Because in game one, you had to bring in Sauer Moore for some reason, and we forget that there was an insurance run tacked on before Kike hit a home run. It could have been tied. And then after that Eovaldi thing, it was Martin Perez to face Brantley. And I know it's lefty-lefty and everything, but good God. You know, I don't know, is Robles better with that changeup? So there is like a plan late in the bullpen. A lot of it has to do with just who the hell's out there. Who does he trust? To me, Sale coming out in the sixth inning was a big mistake, in my opinion. And then once he was out there, I don't know how. I mean, pitching to Alvarez, I know he's a lefty. But, I mean, you know, fastballs again. I mean, he hit three of the same pitches, fastball away, the other way for home runs, and you call fastball another fastball slider. I don't get it. But Rosenthal kind of compared leaving Sale in the sixth inning to what Collins did with, well, you guys remember, like Matt Harvey in the World Series in 2015.
Totally remember that. 1,000%.
And if you don't remember, you tell me if this situation is different. It's Chris Sale, after five innings, is down 1-0. Do you bring him in the sixth or not? Matt Harvey. The Mets are up 2-0 in an elimination game going into the ninth. The ninth. And he let him go off for the ninth. He let Matt Harvey, after eight innings, up 2-0, let him pitch the ninth, and they lose. And that's it. The World Series is over. Are those comparable? Matt Harvey goes 8 shutout, and Chris Sale goes 5 and gives up 1. Like, you're down 1-0. I don't think they're comparable at all. When you lose, you don't look as smart. Because obviously the moves you make didn't work.
Well, then how will you judge then? If you dismiss how it ended, because of a various reasons, then how are you actually judged?
No, what I'm
either
saying is
you're judged by the circumstances or you're not.
The Chris Sale, before he even went out there, he shouldn't be pitching the sixth. They end up losing the game. You can be pissed about that. But if you're upset that Evaldi came in that game, 2-2, and you lose, and then now because you lost based on results, you say it was a stupid move? I mean, that's just dumb. Then everything is dumb. Like, because baseball is a game that isn't perfect. Like, every decision you make is just based on how guys do it. No, you got to base it on whether it's the right decision or not. So,
and isn't that why we love Alex Cora and why he's been so successful and why people have cottoned to him so quickly in this town? Because in a day and age, Lou, where people seem to just be leaning more and more and more on analytics and making decisions based on tendencies and averages and numbers and ones and zeros, Cora seems to be toggling the line between analytics and gut beautifully. And unfortunately, you're going to stumble every now and again. Tuer is human, and he's made a couple of mistakes recently. He still has one more. And the crazy thing is, all of this basically started like the avalanche effect began by Ken Rosenthal being wrong and Cora being correct in bringing Evaldi in because he did get out of it. Someone else had to make a mistake for the shine to start coming off of Alex Cora because that was strike three and Laz Diaz blew it up. Mm-hmm. And I just need to say that once and now I'm done with it.
All right. Has the Alex Cora mystique worn off? Do you believe Ken Rosenthal or maybe some others because they've lost a couple now and do the Red Sox still have a chance? 617-779-7937. He's got a big decision to make here tonight in the lineup. We'll discuss that next with Maloney and Fourier and Fitzy.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
MFers with Fitzy coming at you. Going to your calls now. Let's go to Chuck in Salem. Chuck, what's up, man, on the Sox? What do you got?
Well, number one, I think you're being a little hard on the Red Sox. About a month ago, they weren't even qualifying for the second wild card spot. They were they're lost. They're gone. They're on a slump. And now they made it this far. They beat the Yankees. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays. And they were not the favorites in either one of those. That's my first part. You got to get behind these guys. Even Sal Amora, I think, is a good pitcher.
Sucks.
He's been a bundle of nerves, though. Now, I'd like to make one point, though, before I sign off. Hello?
Yeah, keep going, man. You got the floor.
Okay. On Wednesday night, there's an old saying in baseball, never underestimate the sinker ball. And that's what sunk him, was a sinker ball. When you got guys swinging for the fences, Maloney touched on this. He said, you got a lineup of people who are trying to hit a grand slam home run with nobody on base.
Yeah.
And when you're swinging up and that ball is going down, you're going to ground out time after time. And that's exactly what they did.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. I don't think I'm being too hard on him at all. I think I've given up on him. Like me? Listen to the Sports Hub. Jesus. No, there's nothing wrong with pointing it out, though, with pointing out where they are. Now, let me ask you guys one thing. Hunter Renfroe playing tonight? Would you guys play him?
Would I play Hunter Renfroe based on... Okay, so hold on, but wait a second. There's a lot of moves that are made if Bobby Dalbec is playing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that mean for Schwarber? Where is he at? Is he out?
I would believe in that ballpark, I would think right field is short and more traditional. Left field gets a little funky out there in that low corner.
Okay, I'm fine with the discussion of, okay, what do you do with Dalbec? But the counterpoint to that is, what do you do with Schwarber? Like, where does he create the least amount of damage? Like, where can he not affect the game defensively? What position can he play? Is it first base where you're constantly involved? Is it left field? Is it right field? I mean, you tell me, if Renfroe can't catch that ball that Correa hit, you think Schwarber's going to catch that ball?
I hope so.
Not a chance.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the ground ball that he just dropped.
No,
okay,
I'm talking about the fly ball, the right field. He's not catching it either.
No, it's shallow. It's just turn around and throw the ball.
I think, as far as I think the devil you know, I'll deal with the devil I know, which is Schwarber at first. I hope he gets out of his slump. He starts hitting the ball a little bit better. Everybody starts playing better defense. Fitzy,
what do you want?
Yeah, I want Kyle to go back to saying he's from Ohio, because ever since we got all wrapped up in this Kyle from Waltham thing, he's gone down the tubes. I'm leaving Dahlbeck benched. I hate to say it. I got to keep Schwarber at first. He's done less damage over there than I think a lot of us probably had chalked him up to doing for the postseason so far, Lou. And when that bat comes alive, so goes this team as well. Renfro, it was inexcusable that he got turned around on that play the other night, because he should have caught that liner in the ninth inning. There's no question about it. But my concern with Renfro is more about his bat. He has just done nothing for us at the plate in this series to date. So
I would agree.
If you're going to take him out, I'd maybe take him out to see if Dahlbeck can bring a hot stick in the lineup. But
I'll say this
defensively.
So
yeah.
I think Renfro starts, and I think a lot of it has to do with him sort of thinking about how he wants to finish the game or how the game wants to go. And you know, if you start Dahlbeck and you know, nasty righty comes in, and you want to pinch hit him for Shaw. Now Shaw's at first the rest of the game, so it's just, I don't know. I think I just stick with it. I think you got a guy like Shaw that could pinch hit for Renfro at some point in the game, and then he's at first, and Schwarber's out in right field. So I just think with the lineup they have, you know, there's more possibilities like off the bench, whether it's defense, hitting, whatever it is. And by the way, Alex, I think the other day after Game 5 said same lineup or same players, not making any changes. We'll see if he holds true to it or not. But I think that is probably the move that if everybody wants Renfro out of the lineup. Everybody wants Renfro out of the lineup. And I don't think he takes him out, and I think right away people are going to think it's stupid. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of Waltham, let's go to Lewis out in Waltham. Lewis, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Waltham, guys. Waltham.
I got you.
I was going to hit on that point. You guys were kind of ripping into the bullpen, but I think we were talking about Cora. You guys were talking about Cora and some of the decisions he made. Having Renfro bat in that at bat where two runners are on, no out, you have to advance the runners, and I think we're not talking enough about that. And you guys just hit on it, you know, with his bat being so cold. I also agree with the point of the outfield that he has to make that play, but you can't switch out anybody because you struggled defensively. So I wanted that thought, but I just want to throw this out there. After that game where Cora calls out E-Rod and says, "Hey, that's not what we do," the bats are going cold. The guys have kind of been in a little bit of a slump. They are aiming for the fences, but they're not getting it. So you guys think that had something to play with it?
I don't know. Fitzy, what do you think? Because I don't think Cora yelling at E-Rod got the bats nervous.
I don't know how we connect the two. It's an easy karmic point to reach for because of the fact that, like, well, it seems like, you know, the odds have swung in the favor of the Astros ever since someone decided to return karmic service, like, you know, instead of Correa, E-Rod pointing at him after he grounded out to end the sixth. I applauded Cora for that. I thought that was a great move, saying, like, no, that's not how we do it. I don't think the bats have lost their pep. I don't think that they've lost their mojo just because he told them to behave like grownups. No, not at all. Houston has found a hole in the Red Sox swings and approach because they got home run and grand slam happy. The Red Sox, like you said earlier, Lou, need to get single, bunt, and off-field happy again. They need to play situational baseball, not grand slam baseball.
Yeah, I think situational baseball is based on personnel. Renfro can't bunt, won't bunt, shouldn't bunt, period. And it was the fifth inning. I'm not pinch hitting for him. You know, I know they weren't hitting the ball well. They weren't hitting home runs, but you can't hit home runs if you bunt. You know, maybe he launches it, three-run shot, and you're like, okay, well, geez, there it is. You know, but he's not bunting in that game. Let's go back to the calls. Rodney in Portland. What's up, Rodney?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
What's up?
Nice to talk to Fitzy in person or on the air or whatever.
There you go. You got him.
But, thank you, buddy.
It's not the real Fitzy.
It's the real Fitzy.
No, it isn't. It's the darker side.
Oh, stop it, yeah, Christian.
All right. So, game four, you got Pivetta. He's rolling. Yeah. He gets through five with like 60 pitches, and you pull him because of that third time through the order thing. And then you go to a pen for like half the game. They can't manage it. I don't know. I thought like he got a little ahead of himself with overthinking the pulls.
Should have left him in.
The next game, and you got a tale of two pitchers. You got one guy who's a hot hand, you leave him in, and he goes eight. And you got the other guy who's a hot hand, you leave him to six, and it all goes to hell. So,
Rodney, one question. How'd you think about Sale going out in the sixth? Do you like that move?
I didn't like that move, but I like Valdez going eight.
How can you not like Sale going out in the sixth, but wishing Pivetta stayed in longer? How's that not just based on results?
I know. That's the problem with calling these things. You watch and you're like, why'd he pull that guy? And then the next game.
But what I'm saying is that you are basing it on results, Rodney. Like, he took Pavetta out. You hated it. He left Sale in. You should have loved it if that was the case.
I know.
That's so inconsistent. Okay.
No, I get it.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't understand that whole line.
I'm not sure either. But that's okay. He liked, you know, hearing from Fitzy.
By the way, this hour brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. We're going to talk to Mike Lombardi at 4 o'clock. Let's go to Wayne, our boy Wayne in Southie. What's up, Wayne?
What's up, guys? What's up, Fitzy Magic? What have you been doing, bro? I haven't talked to you in a month.
Wayne, anyway, I've been getting ready for this. I've been getting ready for a Pats weekend with
this.
Red Sox.
Oh,
there we go. Excellent.
Lou Banger knows what I'm talking about. Listen to this. I think... Hey, see, answer me one question. Is the Whistler going to be out there in Houston tonight, you think, Lou?
I don't know.
Hey, was there a Whistler out there at Dodger Stadium when Chris Taylor hit his 3 home runs? Anybody hear any whistling with that?
What about the bullpen light?
I watched the first 2 games, Fourier, and there was no whistling going on.
Oh, stop it. Stop it with the whistling.
I think they got their butt beat so bad, Houston, they said, we can't allow this to happen. We can't. We just got 21 home runs on us. And I think that Bucky Wucky, whatever his name is, said, you know what? Let's do our old habits. Let's make it a little bit more in a way that they can't even catch us. That's how good they're at it. That's how good they're at it. They're 4-8.
All right. Thank you, Wayne.
Speaking of science, let's go to Rich in Linfield. Go ahead, Rich. You're on.
Hey, I feel a little bad that I'm going to agree with Wayne on this, but did you guys catch the comments Cora made about the alleged cheating?
No. What did he say?
So basically, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but he basically said, hey, we got to do a better job. When they don't have anyone on base, they're average hitters. But when they put people on base, all of a sudden they're all-stars. So I don't know if there's something to this, if Cora believes it is, but I'd be interested to hear Utility Lou's perspective on that.
Okay.
I think that they are always concerned about stealing signs with guys on base. And the numbers would make you even more concerned, whether they're doing it or not. This is a very good hitting team. And a lot of the issues they've had is with nobody on. And that's where we're talking about whistling, right? But these guys can hit, man. I mean, they know what they're doing. It's a very good team. You got to keep from, again, it's you know, the whole E-Rod thing. Did it wake them up? You know, they went out and scored 1 run in 8 innings the next night. And then last night they went out and see the last game, they went out and scored 1 run in 6 innings or 5 innings. So it's like, did it wake them up? No, they just outbursts, put the games away. They're blowouts.
Have you ever had a question and a jab at the same time? Like, somebody asks you a question and disrespect you at the same time.
Oh, they do it all the time.
And make fun of you. I haven't heard one of those in a while. It's a twofer.
I know. I always love that people feel like they can tough guy you through the other side of the phone when it's like, hey, quick question, caller. How did your 8-year major league career go, you son of a bitch?
I know.
My grits.
It's so funny.
You drop the kiss
my
grits.
You suck in football.
I know. Oh, Lombardi at 4, by the way. Let's go to Mark in Rhode Island. Mark, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Mark?
All right. I have an opinion about the pitching. Number one, the choices that Cora make with Sale, the choices he made with Evaldi, I agree with them totally. What I don't agree with is that trying to say whether he was right or wrong. If Sale makes the right pitch, the guy's out. If Evaldi makes the right pitch, he's out, except for that stupid strike call.
Yeah.
So as for the rest of them, like Perez and all those guys, I don't want to see them either. But the pitcher, does Cora tell the pitcher, does he signal to Vasquez, hey, throw this? Or is it Vasquez telling Sale to throw this?
Sometimes I wish he would. But no, I don't think they do. They go over the game plan. By the way, Evaldi on the mound means Plawecki's catching, right? I believe. How about some over-unders? Does Evaldi get 14.5 outs? -125. Does he go 5 innings?
Does he get 14? Over.
5 innings?
Yeah. I mean, you don't think, 14.5 outs? You don't think he can go past 5 innings?
I don't think he does.
I think you got Evaldi. I think a perfect case scenario.
Sale went 6.
Give me the Yankees. Yankees elimination game. Give me the wild card game. If I can get Evaldi 5 1/3, 5 2/3, and then bring in Houck for an inning and a half up to 2, Then I can do some situational action. Maybe I think asking Whitlock to throw. I want to perfect scenario. He throws one tonight. I don't want to stretch Whitlock out more. You're going to need him again tomorrow if you can win tonight.
So Erod, what did Erod? Erod went five,
six.
Erod went six. Sale basically kind of went six. Six.
I think he stretched six because it was game three. You needed a bullpen the rest of the way, and they had a big lead. They had a huge lead. What was it, 9-3 at the time still? So in an elimination game, I think you get antsy. I think you pull guys quick. I don't think you sit on them. So I just think if it's like four innings or something, he comes out in the fifth and maybe walks a guy, gives up a knock, he's out. I don't know if he gets through five.
I think he's easier to read than Sale, though, personally. Just based on just the lack of injuries and the lack of in and out of the lineup and just, you know, COVID and this and that. And
hits allowed.
You name it.
Evaldi, 5.5 hits allowed. Over 110, under 145.
See, I'm going to go over on that. I can see him giving up hits, but not a lot of damage being done. They're going to hit the ball. I mean, that's, I don't
see,
I don't
this is the other one, too.
All.
Sox and Astros team totals are both at 4.5. Is that right? So both at 4.5?
Why would they both be 4.5? The Astros have gone over 4.5, 4 out of 5 games. They're averaging 6.2 runs a game.
I got to believe if you take the over in both, you're at least breaking even, right? Like I'm just, someone's going to score five.
I would like to say, like, you know, who's going to screw it up? That's a better bet. Who's
the goat tonight?
Who is the reverse goat? No, forget about the arm. I look at defensive. Forget about hitters. Forget about pitchers. I'm looking like guys like even playing defense, like, you know, Schwarber or Renfro, or, you know, Altuve had a couple errors in the games that they lost, which is uncanny for him. I mean, Bregman's been unbelievable at third. So it's going to come down to something like that. I feel like it always does. Like a fly ball that's, you know, you misjudge it. You lose it in the lights, you know, and then next thing you know, two runs score. Or the ball hits the freaking bag, jumps up, ricochets off the wall. What about that stupid stool over on the third base line?
That's going to be there again. We'll see. My stool comes back into play.
How often does that stool get back in play? That's a good one.
Well, it's true because I think basically with all the talk of whether Sale should have started the sixth inning, the guy that's off the hook is Schwarber. Like, you know, they threw a baseball in the air, chest high, and he dropped it. Yeah. It should have been first and third, one out. You know, maybe a 2-0 game. You know what I mean? Instead, it's freaking 6-0. I mean, so, like, he's the happiest guy in the world. Everyone's talking about whether Sale should have started or not. And, well, why did Martin Perez come in and the bats and Valdez and everything? Meanwhile, the first baseman didn't catch a ball in the air.
Yeah, like, it's almost like he's only been playing the position for 2 months.
Right, but he's been playing catch his whole life.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like, he's been playing catch his whole life. You know, I grab my 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, whatever. Hey, go out there, play catch. Get your arm loose. I look out there. They all catch the ball. They're getting to the point where they're all catching the ball. But it's like he's been playing catch his whole life. One guy that may make a mistake here, let's go to Tony in Bridgewater. He brings this guy up. Tony, what's up defensively?
Hey, what's happening, you guys? You know, I don't know where this theory comes about Renfro being this great. The guy's an average outfielder. I think he had 13, 14 average this year. Like, not to mention the throwing average, throwing to the wrong base. So, I told you before the series, I was worried about Houston hit with runners in scoring position. And the only way to offset this, you got to forfeit the defense tonight. Renfro got to come out of the game. You put Verdugo in right field, I'm sorry. You put Schwarber over in left. And I want to see Pawlenty catch, too. Christian Valdez, he looks lost, too. You got to come with the bats tonight and try to match these guys. The defense has not killed them so far.
So you want to come with the bats, and you want to take out Renfro and put in Dahlbeck, who's 0 for 11 in the postseason with 5 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay.
He's due, right? He's due.
There it is.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. It was first and second the other day. It was the fifth inning. That was a 2-0 count that he hit into that double play on a terrible, terrible pitch. Okay? So his mind ain't there. What do you got? At least Dahlbeck, you know, he's got a little juice. Maybe he could provide that little oomph or something like that.
Who's got more juice? All right, I can't.
I don't know.
Listen, Renfro has sucked, okay? But the guy hit 30 bombs. He's a better hitter than Dahlbeck. He is. I'm sorry. He is. He should be out there in right field. It should be the exact same lineup. And we'll see. If he doesn't, if he goes with Dahlbeck, hey, maybe it's 2 home runs. Who knows? But the guy hasn't been playing. He's 0 for 11. I'm not buying it. I want Renfro in right. Screw it. What do you got?
You know what does worry me, though, Lou, is
talk
that
to me.
This guy, I know you said that Garcia, that they may have found something to take some stress off of the knee
that's
been an issue for him. if this guy is close to on at home, I mean, he had a sub 2.4 ERA in Houston.
Oh, he's filthy.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's not the kind of guy I want to see Dahlbeck against. I know Dahlbeck has trouble with the high heat and the big cheese, but, like, I just feel like a guy like Dahlbeck gets overmatched, and we start seeing, like, mid-game some slouch shoulders, and all of a sudden 12-ounce feels real tight and 9-ounce feels real tight. I think you got to stick with the guys you got.
Yeah, I just worry about, like, kind of, like, pinch hitting for him late, and now late you got a bad defense. Like, you know, to me, I don't like that.
You know what does worry me, though, Lou?
Hey, Bob. You want to turn that radio down, buddy? There you go, Bobby, there.
Yo. Yeah,
sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Hey, Bobby.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Go Sox. I was telling him I'm swinging at 3-0 here, but the Astros got nothing to lose tonight. They're going to rest all their pitchers they can for tomorrow night.
Why would they do that?
I think... it's elimination for Boston.
Yeah,
it's not for Houston.
So you don't pitch your pitchers to end it. You save them for a game seven.
No, they want to go. They want to go seven games.
Oh, they
want to win it in seven.
Oh, they do.
That's my. Hey, I told you I'm swinging at 3-0 here.
Okay, oh, well, keep swinging.
Wow. Okay. Give me Ray real quickly.
Yeah. Ray, what's up,
just
man?
Just so we can kind of end this.
You want to get on Foyer's 4-1 prediction from earlier?
Some clarity with this. What's up, Ray?
Christian, I'm just wondering if you've been experienced with marijuana. Your 4-1 prediction with the Patriots for the next 5 weeks is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. I love you, guy, but I'm just worried about you. I just don't know how they could go 4-1.
Okay, first of all, this is crazy how things kind of, like, you know, exploded into it's a prediction. I said, like, why can't they go 4-1? Like, what makes you think that they can't win for every one of those teams that is on the schedule, the next five opponents? They can beat every single one of them, Ray. Every single one. They can beat the Jets. They can beat the Falcons. They can beat the Chargers. Who else is on there?
Couldn't you say that about the first six games? And that didn't
I mean, I think – the Browns, okay. No, but I thought that I thought that the Cowboys was like a no. You know, realistically, you were looking, the Bucks were a no, like a hard no. I thought Miami, they should have beat – I think they could have beat Miami, the Jets. And then Houston, yeah. So
New Orleans,
and I thought New Orleans was maybe a little bit more of a push.
Okay.
No, my point is, like, to me, when I look at this, if there's not a team that they're going to be overmatched and overwhelmed by,
listen, which
allows me to believe that if they can just get their crap together and, like, you know, and stop being so stupid,
if you want to phrase it that way, that they can go 4-1. You know, that these teams aren't juggernauts, and that, you know, but
the opportunity's there, Lou.
Well, of course there's opportunity. You know,
but for every team.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I think it's probably more realistic. They're going to need some help, I would say that, to go 4-1. They're going to need some injuries before they play an opponent. Maybe Justin Herbert, you know, like, has a hamstring and he can't play, you know, something. They're going to listen. But that's the way the league goes. Like, before the season starts, you look at the schedule and go, oh, my God, no way. And then the week you're going to play, if you found out this guy gets hurt and this guy's hurt and they don't have their best corner, you're like, okay, well, our odds have improved. Like, nothing that we have done. We haven't done anything, but they're up against it. Like, San Francisco last year with all the injuries, preseason, they were a good team. Suddenly they got hit by the injury bug. Like, it can very well happen. Well, it can happen to the Patriots also. I'm just saying, like, when these things, you know, play out in the end after 5 weeks, okay, and that's what we will reevaluate them after 5 weeks. I think that's what the team is looking at. Like, hey, okay, 3-2, okay, you know, we'll take it. That's better than nothing. But 4-1, I mean, listen, we're going to need some help, but we can come out of this at 4-1. 3-2, worst case scenario as a player. Now,
well, 3-2 better be the worst case scenario, right?
Well,
I mean, it better be 5-6.
In order, you have to hover around 500. You have to hover around it, keep it close. You have to keep them engaged. Like, when were they out of the playoffs last year?
They were officially the path closed after they lost in Miami. Yeah.
And that was when?
Last year in December.
December?
A couple weeks ago. That was about it. I mean, yeah.
There's
only one game left. That's when I asked Bill, has anything changed? He's like, nothing's changed.
Yeah. Once they're officially mathematically out of it, Dunsky. That's it. Like, what are you playing for? Just, you know, off season. Like, they're not, I mean, they're not talented
culture.
Enough. They're old enough.
Culture. Locker room
the culture.
Culture
is going to be tested.
Locker room culture.
Tested.
All right, listen, Mike Lombardi, he is going to join our show right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.